You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Thanks, Matt. It's been a good morning. It's going to get better. So we're going to continue, and we're going to worship him. And I just want to share a few thoughts today. I've called it Your Kingdom Come. We're not very good at dates. But do you know what date it is today, Kim? She's just told you. Pentecost Sunday. And I thought you would have known that. But it is Pentecost Sunday, obviously. That's the day that the church traditionally, anyhow, celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I want to give some opportunity and time for us to call out to him again. But I've called it this, Your Kingdom Come. And with a general election taking place this week, I haven't got a screen in front of me. I don't know if anybody can sort that for me. It'd be helpful if we could, otherwise I'll be looking behind. But with a general election taking place this week, I want to read a couple of scriptures from, well, they're both from the Old Testament, one's repeated in the New, which express God's heart and God's kingdom. Because I think it's really important that as we vote, and it's important that we do vote, we are reflecting something of heaven on earth. And that helps us make our choices. So first of all, from Isaiah 58, "No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly appear. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here. He will quickly reply." So challenging verses from Isaiah 58. It's a rebuke, actually, from God to the children of Israel who weren't doing that. They were fasting. They were doing spiritual things, but they really weren't catching God's heart for the poor. In fact, their life wasn't changing. They were going through that spiritual external discipline. And that can be the same for us if we're not careful. You see, once a month we call for a church fast on the first Thursday. And fasting isn't nice. I don't know about you. I don't like that day. I don't look forward to it. I don't fully understand the benefits. But I know that it's a good discipline. And true fasting isn't just about depriving ourselves of food once a month. True fasting is giving ourselves to the kingdom of God. And I'm so grateful for the churches across the town which do that, and the Christian expression across the town, because the church is the hope of the world. And the church is out there reaching the hearts of the broken and the hurting. It is an expression of the kingdom of God breaking in. Hallelujah. So praise God for what's happening. And then Isaiah 61, Jesus quotes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." That's Jesus. He'd just returned from the desert. He'd been baptized a couple of months earlier. He was fasting for 40 days. Luke tells us he came out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. And his first sermon was this. He read from Isaiah 61. It's his kingdom manifesto, if you like. It's what he came to do, to bring freedom for the poor and the oppressed because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I want to connect, in some slightly bizarre way, the election with Pentecost. Jesus came to bring freedom for the poor because of the anointing of the Spirit. And we carry that same manifesto. The Church of Jesus Christ, we need to receive that same anointing so that we can bring about the kingdom of God, just as Jesus did. So my talk, Your Kingdom Come. And with those scriptures in mind, I want to look at these two totally different aspects. One, how should we vote on Thursday? Not who should we vote for, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. How should we vote? And two, just a short emphasis on this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. But first, I want to look at some attributes I think are really important as we consider voting from a kingdom perspective. I'm quite interested in politics, although I don't think of myself as particularly political. But a couple of weeks or so ago, I did an online poll. And I will admit to you, I scored more on the right side of politics. They pronounced me a centralist. I'd not heard of one of them until the president of France was one. But I'm there in the middle somewhere, I think. I'm not sure how helpful these polls are all the time, but the trouble is no one party emphasizes all the things you or I might think are important. And so we have to make choices prioritizing issues we feel are more important than others. That's why Christians will vote for different parties, from the Greens to UKIP, because before God, we will hold different priorities. And actually, that's good. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ is made up of, different parts, different emphases, different outlooks on life. And it's not that we should all be one or the other politically, I don't believe. Some churches in other countries would see that differently and may be proclaiming from the pulpit who you should be voting for. I believe we need to seek the Lord and vote accordingly to what we feel he's calling us to do. So I just want to give an example of some of my struggles, considerations. For example, I do come from this mindset that we really should only be spending what we can afford. I struggle with the concept of just going further and further and further and further into debt to keep everybody's standard of living at a level that we think is acceptable. I struggle with that concept. I think, for example, adding 1% onto income tax to support the NHS could be a good thing. So it's a different party here altogether, two different parties. It's very important that the vulnerable, the elderly and the poor are looked after. Those scriptures emphasize that priority which God has for them. And Brexit. I don't know if I'm missing something, but if 27 countries want to play hard, do we have a choice whether we play hard or soft in our negotiations? It seems to me we are not the ones able to choose how to negotiate. Now, I think we need to go in with humble hearts and be prepared to listen. But at the end of the day, we're dealing with 27 other heads. And we have to find our way through that. So how you can make that a voting thing, I'm not sure. I struggle when I'm told by an unemployed person I met a few years ago with three children, unless I can get a job worth £50,000, I'm better off unemployed, so no, I didn't accept that job. I struggle with that concept. Because there's many who are working which don't earn that sort of money. Why shouldn't those who have more help those who have less? Why should the very wealthy receive winter fuel payments if they don't need them? Why should unmarried couples be better off tax-wise than if they were married? I could go on. There's lots of issues, and some of those I've not mentioned might be higher priorities in your thinking. They're just some of them. But what I'm saying, church, let's vote on Thursday, but let's vote with a kingdom perspective in mind. What is important to God more than necessarily what's important to me? I'll just mention a few areas for us to consider, and I've asked three people to come and pray. Compassion. Some parties don't come over compassionate at all. Concern and compassion was what motivated Jesus. It's why God sent Jesus in the first place to be our Savior. And many of our churches and Christian organizations today are also motivated by concern and compassion. That's good. Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion when he saw the lost. He was moved with compassion when he saw the sick, and he had the answer. Compassion led him to reach out to the prostitute, to the tax collector, both outcasts in society. I think the church needs to be prepared to do the same. The Samaritan alone had compassion on the victim who was mugged. The religious ignored him. Maybe we those who vote with compassion, but also we're looking for that to be expressed by whatever particular party we feel we should be voting for. Compassion needs to start with us. Ask God to touch our hearts. It's easy to say the government should be doing that, but actually God's calling us to be the compassion and the heart into this world today and to care for the marginalized. Linked to that is the poor. Not just financially poor. When Jesus talks about the poor in spirit, it's not just poverty, financial poverty. It's oppression, it's hunger, it's loneliness, it's caring for the refugee, the foreigner, for those who feel isolated. It's a much wider thing. And we need to care for the poor. We need to vote with eyes open for those which we believe will be able to help the poor most. They need our care and protection, those who have no voice. Whoever's elected will not have all the answers. But I believe we should look out for those and speak out for those who are vulnerable at heart. And I dare I say, it's not just words. There will be words out there which are said by different politicians, we're going to do this, that and the other. But words need to be matched with deeds. And policies need to be, of course, financially viable. In theory, the poor should benefit most when the economy is doing well. They always suffer most when the economy is not doing so well. Justice and fairness. Kingdom principles, but not always easy to administer. And the population has different views on what is just and fair. By the way, am I doing all right? You're incredibly quiet. I know we don't normally talk about things like this, but is killing unwanted babies in the womb just? Or are the rights of the mother more important? Should Ashers, the bakery in Northern Ireland, have the right to choose what messages they want to put on the cakes? Or does fairness mean they have to put on their cakes whatever anybody demands of them? Should we expect unemployed who are able to work to look for jobs and take them? Or just to remain unemployed? Should we just give them benefits anyhow? Justice and fairness. And what about refugee rights and those coming in from other countries? Should we provide because we can? Or maybe some think we can't. How do we hold these things up from a kingdom perspective? To me, surely justice and fairness is about those better off being prepared to help their neighbours who are less well off, rather than the rich just getting richer and the poor getting poorer. What about freedom of speech? Should Christians be allowed to express their biblical convictions without fear or reprisal? Or do certain leaders of parties have to at least publicly say they've changed their view about things they were felt a conviction about before, but they know that there will be reprisals if they were to hold on to those particular convictions. Whether it's the gospel or morals, it may be offensive to some, but Jesus was an offence too. And I don't think we should deliberately try to offend. I think we should have to acknowledge that whether we're Christian or Muslim or whatever religion or faith we have, there could well be sincere beliefs which are held, which won't be accepted by everybody else. Shouldn't there be a right to express them? It seems to me there's always going to be class divides. Jesus said that you will always have the poor with you. There's always going to be rich. There's always going to be the poorer. But by the way, we're all one in Christ Jesus. No distinction in the Church of Jesus Christ. And if we expect better from our government, I want to bring the challenge to us as a church. How well are we doing in looking after the less well off, among us here or out in Reading? A lot of these issues aren't black and white. I think we need to be really grateful for governments, or at least our government, who seemingly is less corrupt than other governments in the world. But we need to be looking and praying that whoever's in power governs with justice and fairness. It's an important kingdom principle. And fourthly, family. I've put this down, so I think it's so important. Policies to support traditional marriage, the bedrock of society. I think there's only one party that sees it that way, but good marriages provide the best environment for stable families, for whatever shape or size. But we need to support family. Single mums and dads, such a hard job. Many in the church do an amazing job, but they need support. And to be honest, probably more a job for the church. But divorce and breakdown cost the government millions a year. And the housing crisis, to a large extent, is due to many more single people living in single homes now through separation and divorce. And that's one of the reasons more houses are needed. And where there's divorce, there's usually a lack of good fathering. Good fathering is so, so important. And I'm not sure what the government can do to help in these areas. But I tell you, we're producing a fatherless generation. And we need to pray. And I'd suggest at least look for policies that encourage and protect family rather than the opposite. So these are just some of the issues I believe as Christians we should be concerned about. But whoever's elected as a prime minister, as Christians we need to pray for, and we need to support them as best as we can. A month ago I wouldn't be saying whoever is going to be elected. Who knows what Thursday or Friday morning is going to bring about now. We have to trust God. Trust God. And we need to pray. And we may have raving right-wingers here. And there may be loony left-wingers here too. And there may be everybody in between. And I want to say as a church, you're all welcome. And we need to love each other and respect each other's views, even when we don't agree with them. So whatever political leanings you have, I'm just saying, let's check. Are our views expressing God's kingdom, his values and principles, as we go to the ballot polls on Thursday? But whatever, we continue to love and accept each other. So before I go on to talk a little bit more about Holy Spirit coming, I've asked Hannah, Stephen and Jackie if they would come and lead us in prayer. If you'd like to come up, please. I've just asked them to pray for a minute or two. I say that so we don't have three other sermons. Please come up. And as they're coming, I just want to lead in prayer, first of all. And I want to ask just to pray for what's happened in London. And I was just saying to Stephen earlier on, I've not known a terrorist attack so quickly after a previous one. Can we stand together? I want to pray for London, and I'm going to ask these three just to then lead us in prayer as we have the election to consider. So, Father, we come to you, and I want to thank you that what we've sung and declared earlier on is so true. You are totally sovereign. You are God. You rule over everything. And as your people, we come to you. And as your people, we pray for those which have lost loved ones in London. We pray for the police and for the authorities which will be involved in caring and trying to bring to justice those perpetrators and any strands and networks of terrorism. Lord, we bring it to you. I pray, Lord, even in another case of devastation, Lord, that where there's darkness, your light will shine evermore. That there will not be a reprisal of hatred and the wrong sort of anger towards these people and these deeds, but rather somehow we'll receive grace to bring hope in this time of need. Thank you, Lord, for your hand on this country. We pray for the current Prime Minister and government as they've met or are meeting and emergency cabinet. And we just pray, Lord, your wisdom will filter through into their decisions in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hannah.
Yeah, Lord, as we come to you now and we want to pray for United Kingdom, Lord, as we repent from our wrongdoings, we just ask you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We ask for your protection for United Kingdom in every way. And we ask, Lord, that you will put people who make good choices in charge. We pray that all the most important decisions will fall in the hands of the godly, and the ones who will choose after your heart, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that the government will have honor instead of criticism in everything from our hearts to the media, Lord. And we ask for a healthy balance in everything, Lord, from finance to immigrants. And we ask for a stable economy. We ask for the rich, Lord, to have a heart and of compassion,
yes,
to help the lost and those who have less. We ask for the wealthy to have success, to create jobs in the United Kingdom. And Lord, we know that you gave the one who had 10 talents 10 more. And we ask for good stewards, Lord, to be put in charge everywhere, whether it's from sweeping the street or stacking shelves or to leading the government. Lord, we ask that the good stewards will be put in charge, Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, Lord, we ask for attitude and behavior, Lord, to be also after your heart, Lord, an obedient culture instead of a rebellious one. And we ask that you will heal the brokenhearted, Lord, and give them hope. We ask, Lord, that the Christian charities and churches will blossom and be strong in the local areas. And we ask that the United Kingdom, Lord, will be a country of worship, like they are known for in history. We ask that it will be a testimony, Lord, throughout the world, to the end of the world, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is what drives the country into your arms, Lord. And we pray that there will be a mighty harvest through this time of crisis, Lord, that blessings will flow in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, Father God, I'm reminded of the scriptures that you say you appoint the leaders, and so we entrust to you this election coming. Lord, the appointment will be your appointment, and your fruit will come from it. Father God, this nation has a root of Christianity that has blessed the world. And so we declare that that will be renewed and refreshed in this nation through this next leader. That the appointment will bring Christ to this nation in a new way, and the nations of the world will benefit. So, Father God, may this appointment, may this election, first of all, become under your protection and covering. Will your appointment be fulfilled, Lord? And will this nation be rebirthed to its Christian roots? Will we see fruit, Lord Jesus? That is our ask. We will see the fruit of you in this nation and through our leadership. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Yeah, Father, we thank you, Father, that you are our Father. You are our good, good Father. And you are faithful to hear us, Father. You are faithful to answer when we ask you in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you can turn, you are the God of the impossible. You heard the prayer of one person named Stephen, who was being persecuted by a man named Saul. And Stephen cried out and said, "Do not hold this charge against Saul." And you changed the course of history after that by making Saul Paul, Father. Truly, nothing is impossible for you, Father. And so, Father, we commit, Father, we commit every seat of this government, Father, into your hands. And we declare that the government is on your shoulders, Lord Jesus, that every seat, from the Prime Minister to every seat, every part of this government, Lord Jesus, that you will reign in their hearts, Lord, that you will, your love, Lord Jesus, will touch them, Lord, and cause them to fear you, Lord, and to love, Lord, to love you and to love the people around them, Lord Jesus. And Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done in the United Kingdom, in the government of United Kingdom, in our hearts.